At Sleep Outfitters Outlet, great sleep is a big deal. Save 40 to 60% every day on every Sealy, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic. Queens as low as $249. Customer exchanges, closeouts, and floor samples. Inventory changes daily, so come in for your dream deal today. With no credit needed financing, expert advice, and up to 60% off retail, it's never been easier to get the sleep and savings you deserve. Go to sleepoutfittersoutlet.com for financing details and to find a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Tuesday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today as we continue on the road to WrestleMania. Most of the show today is going to be focused on that, specifically looking at the go-home show for Monday Night Raw. Just a couple of quick things off the top. One, last night, it was an amazing night of college basketball as Caitlin Clark goes off, gets her retribution against LSU, and Iowa is off to the Final Four. One of the better performances you will see in a big game. It was tied at the half, and then Caitlin Clark just had one of those, like, hey, we're not losing tonight moments. Just completely delivered on the hype, 100% blown away. There isn't a whole lot of analysis. She's amazing and continues to be amazing and will be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. On the LSU side, Angel Reese, I think, showed the impact she can have even when she's not having her best game. And last night was not her best game, but still 20 rebounds in a game where, like, she was clearly hobbled with an ankle problem. It still once again shows the impact that player can have. And then her teammates having her back in that way was really, really cool to see. So just a quick thought on that. Also, baseball, the Blue Jays get no hit last night. Obviously, suboptimal result and very, very frustrating. And they've had five games so far. Three of them, they've been blown out. And two of them, they've done the blowing out. So it's been a very up and down start to the season. And for me, the guy who's coming on here and being like, no, look, the approach is great. The approach is great. The approach was not great last night. That was pretty horrendous and a very disturbing sign early in the season that maybe this thing won't turn around after all. But for more on the Blue Jays, check out the Catalano cast from yesterday. For more on wrestling, well, there's more of that coming up right now. Let's look at what went down on Monday Night Raw last night. All right, our WrestleMania 40 preview continues by looking at what went down on Monday Night Raw from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, last night. We're not going to do like blow by blow or anything like that, but the show starts with Rock and Roman in the ring. I don't know if this, and by the end of the night, that this definitely changes, but I don't know, like, this promo didn't really get me like, okay, Roman and Cody, here we go, this is gonna be good. But again, like, everyone is just solid in this whole build. Rock, Roman, Seth Rollins. I thought, like, Solo and Jimmy and, like, Jay coming out as well, but just how they, this is gonna sound very stupid, how they looked coming out on that SmackDown where it was like, oh, who's going with who? What's it gonna be? I'm coming alone. You're coming alone. Oh, neither of us are alone. But I thought both guys, like, on the Bloodline side, really, like, they just looked menacing. So it just, it elevates everyone around them in this entire feud. But this promo was good. You get a very strong Seth Rollins promo, bit of a callback with the burn it down thing and all of that. But overall, like, a good start to the show. The Rock being there is awesome. It feels like a big deal when Rock and Roman Reigns are in the same ring at the same time. And you continue to get that here. New Day and DIY against the Judgment Day. They clarify at the beginning of this, and this is a really interesting note, that both sets of tag team titles will be hoisted above the ring. And the match doesn't end until both sets of titles have been brought down. So in theory, you could get new Raw Tag Team Champions and new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And I would be okay with that. I think we are at a point now, we saw in the qualifying, we are at a point now where the tag team titles do not need to be unified at all. You can have the Raw Tag Team titles and the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. No problem with that whatsoever. I think the more that you can do to separate the two brands, the better. And that unified title thing was fine when it was the Bloodline. You can get them on either show. We got a lot of Judgment Day tonight, and we have, but they haven't really been much of a factor on SmackDown lately. So I don't think you need to have these be unified at this point. I have no problem with them splitting up and are on SmackDown, and it'll make for a bit of a creative finish. They haven't really done that before. So interested to see how it goes. In terms of the match, like, Damian Priest looked like an absolute juggernaut. Judgment Day gets the win. I do think it's been noteworthy. Like, Damian Priest drops a bit of a hint, like, yeah, WrestleMania is going to be big for us as a team and individually. And then in this match, he was clearly the focus of the ass-kicking in this entire match. And, like, he is coming out of this looking really strong. He's also the Money in the Bank holder. Just saying. It feels like this is setting up for Damian Priest to cash in at WrestleMania. In the back, Roman Reigns leaves early, or so we thought. But this is how they introduce that Roman is going to be... inducting, there we go, Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe this seems like it's setting up for the end of the night. But obviously it did, but then it didn't. And then we get the vignette of Chad Gable and Sami Zayn doing their thing in a training montage or whatever. I thought this was really good. And, like, you see it and it's like, man, this could be really hokey. But it wasn't. And I thought in this one promo, it tied this whole last year in for Sami Zayn. Because we talked about it on the show yesterday that Sami Zayn's stock has probably fallen the most from last WrestleMania to this one. Obviously, for in-ring performers. Obviously, out of the ring, there's a lot worse. But in terms of in-ring, like, this guy was legitimately main eventing night one of WrestleMania, and the place went crazy. And now he's in the Intercontinental title match feeling like the underdog. Again. And it tied it all together. Like, I don't want that feeling again. And so I'm afraid to, like, fully put myself out there in this sort of way. And that is holding me back. And so I think that this was a really good job of tying the entire last week together, or last year together, to, like, kind of understand where this guy is at. And there's a bit of a flaw in that, right? Like, he won the tag team titles, but he doesn't have a tag team partner to fall back on now anymore. And so this was good. And honestly, it made me wish we had a little bit more of these. Like, they could have started this a little bit quicker, because this was really good and really, really impressive. And I like this a whole lot more than Sami Zayn's trying to find his way onto WrestleMania, and he loses here, and he loses here, and he loses here. If they would have done the gauntlet right away and then built it up in this way, I thought this would have been really good. And then it goes into the match of Sami Zayn against Bronson Reed. But just quick before that, there was another Judgment Day segment in the back with Legado del Fantasma coming in, hanging out with Dom. Judgment Day is very upset at Dom. It seems like we're getting a Dom breakoff here at some point very soon, probably around WrestleMania or the night after WrestleMania. I could see Dom going to Legado del Fantasma and elevating that group that way. I have no problem with that. I think it seems like Judgment Day has kind of run its course a little bit. And it's done its job, right? Like, it absolutely elevated Dom. It has elevated Damian Priest. It has taken Rhea to the absolute stratosphere. So I think Judgment Day has served its purpose now. If it just kind of... poof. I don't know what happens to Finn, but I think you come out of it with at least three stars higher than they were before. And probably JD McDonagh too, but I don't like him. Then we get into the match. Bronson Reed against Sami Zayn. I thought, if, like, coming out of that vignette, like, okay, Sami Zayn is believing in himself. He's got this thing figured out. I thought it would have been great for him to run through and not, like, squash Bronson Reed, but to really start to take it to Bronson Reed a little bit. Especially if you were going to do the thing at the end where Gunther comes out and beats the holy hell out of both of them. I guess it does still set up the underdog story for Sami Zayn, but I would have liked a bit of a transition to know this guy's an ass kicker, that this guy can go out there and get the job done. He doesn't have to be the underdog the whole time. He can go out there and do the damn thing. And I like to see that from Sam. I would like to see that evolution in the character a little bit. Instead, like, it was a very good competitive match. And then the end comes where Walter drags Chad Gable out and then beats down Gable and Sami Zayn. The one thing I'll say, we were getting a lot of, like, really arrogant Walter for a while. This was a nice way to reestablish that this is a very violent man as well. And not that, like, well, we know the chops and we know all of that, and he has established his reputation as being a badass. But this was just a nice, like, hey, this guy isn't just an arrogant prick. He can go out there and beat the shit out of some people as well, and he's got a very violent side to him. It makes him feel a little bit more dangerous going into WrestleMania, although, like, he has a 600-day title reign, so he feels dangerous enough. But you know what I mean? Like, it just, it adds an extra layer to, instead of, like, this guy can't be beat. It's like, oh, this guy, not only can he not be beat, he'll kick the shit out of you, and he'll mess with you mentally as well. Like, they have, I think, added a few really nice layers to the Walter character here in the last few weeks. He is obviously ready for a run to the World Heavyweight Championship or the Universal title come next year. Then we get Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile against Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Was what it was. Dupri gets a win. It's on Indy Hartwell, so we're continuing to build that negativity with Indy and with Candice LeRae, so cool. I don't mind this new Candice character all that much. It's something, right? Like, I don't mind it. Moving on, we then get, oh, this was really interesting to me, and I'm sure a few people picked up on it. I watched this today. That's why this is coming out so late. I didn't get a chance to watch it last night. Was watching the college basketball. So I don't know if social media noticed this or not, but they do, like, those Snickers remembers WrestleMania moment thing. And it was WrestleMania 10. And it wasn't, it was Natalya, but it wasn't, oh, Brett wins the title after. It was specifically Brett and Owen. And it's a sponsored segment on a WWE thing. But I don't remember the last time Owen was ever mentioned on WWE, even just in passing. And they've done, like, oh, well, this is the third time brothers are wrestling, so it ties in whatever. But I just, like, I don't know if this is a sign that because the asshole at the top is gone now, maybe that this relationship could be furthered and could be built upon, and this could be kind of the entry to that, or if it was just a sponsor thing and it was whatever. My hope is they at least reached out to be like, hey, we're going to mention him in this thing. It's in context of this. It's Natalya doing it. Can we do that? Like, I hope there was at least that kind of communication, but I thought it was really interesting. That was like, I'm seeing Owen Hart on a WWE broadcast for the first time in I don't know how long. So I thought that was really, really interesting. And it leads to a lot of different things, right? And again, all of it is 100% what his family wants. And like, I think that they have a good thing with AEW, with the Owen Hart Classic. I don't know if it was treated with the respect that it needed to be. They brought it to Calgary, but then the match was over and it was done and we had a celebration and that was it. And you had someone come out in a Liger costume, and I hope it wasn't Liger, because if they flew him over for that, it's bullshit. But I'm rambling now. They at least have something with AEW. So, like, there's not that Owen was going to be forgotten or anything like that. But if Martha doesn't want Owen mentioned on WWE, then don't mention him. I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, he has to be in the Hall of Fame. It's like, you know what? Like, this was a horrific thing. And if she doesn't want the company that had that horrific thing happen to mention him, then they shouldn't. And if they are okay with it now, then I'm okay with it. But very, 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 very interested to see that. And that was just kind of a, whoa, wait a minute. What? Whoa, 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 what? That really, really caught me there. Drew McIntyre then does a vignette that I thought was absolutely fantastic. Like, he screams main eventer. And he starts it with the look in my eyes, what do you see? But did a good job of then tying it back into Seth Rollins, instead of it just being Drew versus CM Punk and Rollins is there. Like, it has kind of felt like Rollins is in the background of two feuds, right? With the bloodline thing with Cody, Rock, and Roman, and with McIntyre and Punk as well. And it's like, hey, world champ here. And it goes to what I said yesterday about how it does seem like his popularity has started to dip a little bit. I think he needs some time off. So I would be extremely surprised if Seth comes out of WrestleMania as the World Heavyweight Champion. Who else it would be, we'll talk about that on Friday for our full breakdown. But Drew McIntyre, just chef's kiss, no notes. Phenomenal. Ricochet against Ivar. Both of them are going to be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal coming up on Friday. I think Ricochet has really benefited from Pat McAfee losing his shit every week at what Ricochet can do in a way that, like, Nakamura, I think, benefited from McAfee on commentary. I think Ricochet has kind of benefited as well. And as we go into the new year for the WWE, I do think that this is a performer that is going to be focused on more. And they've really started to hype, like, this guy is on a roll right now. We'll see. He could win this battle royal. Like, that would be, I think that'd be really interesting. And I think that they are ready to absolutely push him. This match was great. Like, Ivar delivers always with his size and what he is able to do. Ricochet, same thing. We get a 630 here. He gets to show his strength with the fallaway slam after catching Ivar. That was really cool. It just, both of these guys came away from this match better off for having these. And Ivar has been in a ton of those over the, past like 5 months, it seems like. It does feel like they're just kind of killing time till Eric comes back, if Eric is coming back. That would be quite the night after WrestleMania surprise to have. But I both these guys are really good. And I'm happy that they're getting a bit of a spotlight there. Then we get Becky and Rhea. This felt like it was making up for lost time. Because, like, the Nia, Liv Morgan, detour just felt weird this whole time. And now we basically had a 2-week build with Rhea and Becky, which is weird because it was Rhea Becky going into the Rumble and then coming out of it and going into Elimination Chamber. It was kind of the obvious one. And then after that, it was just like, yeah, we'll get to it. When you had the Nia stuff, and I get, like, Becky beating Nia in a falls count or a last woman standing match does elevate Becky, but so does winning in the goddamn chamber in Australia. So I have been frustrated with this build. They kind of get it back, but it does feel like this one had another gear that they could have got to before WrestleMania. But they have, like, they've hyped it up as saying, like, this is one of the biggest matches on one of the biggest shows we've ever had. So they've said the right stuff, but it just feels like the build hasn't really got there all the way, at least for me. We got the 6-woman tag team match. Nice to see Tegan Nox get a bit of shine here. She is someone who I'd like to see a bit more of a spotlight on in 2024 here, but you get what you get. Damage Control ends up getting the win. That match is going to be fun coming up on the weekend. And then in the main event, it's Seth Rollins against Solo Sikoa. Bloodline rules. We get a cool table spot. The crowd's chanting for tables right away. They're fighting. It's plunder everywhere. But it's really just a setup for the Bloodline to come down and interference. Rock is standing over Seth Rollins, and it seems like the good guys have finally got one up on the bad guys, and Cody's music hits, and there's a fight, and then Roman comes out and cuts him off, and instead of the good guys getting one over on the bad guys here going into WrestleMania, the bad guys whip literally whip the shit out of them. I don't believe that would be factually correct, but still, whip them boys and just absolutely beat them down. And look, I think that this did, because one of my complaints has been, we've built up Rock against Cody excellently. Roman against Cody, even their face-to-face a couple of weeks ago, it never got really to the place that I needed it to get to for their match specifically. They built up the tag fine, planting a little seed of doubt in Seth Rollins there. But I do think that there is a bit of elevation from this feud for that. Like, this was high-level physicality. The crowd was there for it. This crowd was a star on Monday night. And I thought they did a really, really good job of making this feel like a really big deal. And it does kind of drive home. Like, it's not, like, it's the Bloodline against Cody and Seth, but there was extra attention paid to Cody. And so that, I think, adds to it coming up on Sunday. Like I said, I think a lot of the build for this match, A, was done a year ago. B, like, it's been all focused on the tag, but I do think they'll do a good job throughout WrestleMania on Sunday and on social media of really hyping this one up. Overall, I thought this was a good home, good go home edition of Raw. I think you plant some seeds for some stuff that could happen after, and it got me excited for a couple of things on this particular WrestleMania show. All right, that is going to do it for today. So, continue our WrestleMania preview tomorrow. Going to be doing a legacy look on The Rock. I've done these for a few other athletes throughout time here on Couch Potato Diary, so we're going to do it again for The Rock. Coming up here, that's tomorrow. Also, tomorrow is What Did We Learn Wednesday on Blasty Banter. It is going to be What Did We Learn About the Calgary Flames This Year? And on Dynamite, it's going to be What Did We Learn About the Toronto Raptors This Season? Coming up on Thursday, we're going to look at other things going on in the world of pro wrestling as we get ready for WrestleMania and the whole WrestleMania weekend as a whole, and a few other WrestleMania notes to pass along there as well. And then Friday is the big one as we get ready for the show of shows, the Night of the Immortals, or whatever they used to call it, WrestleMania 40, full preview coming out on Friday's show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at PrimetimeKlein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show, couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. Thank you guys so much. If you're listening in podcast form, leave a review. Make sure you subscribe. If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Leave a comment. I'm sure I said something in here you really agree with or really disagree with, and like the video. That stuff helps me out a ton. Thank you guys so much. Love doing these shows with you. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in-wash scent beads.